Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios on a Titans Monday. Again, what I am dubbing a Titans intervention today on the program. An intervention, because things are bad. It's rock bottom today. I said on Friday that if the Titans lost to Malik Willis, and again, I figured if you lost to Malik Willis, it would be a close game. This was not particularly close, but I said if you lose to Malik, this will be the third worst loss in franchise history as the Titans, only losing to 0-13 Indy and costing yourself the playoffs in 2011 and the 59-0 game in New England were worse, and this is right up there. But yesterday was the first day that I really started to question whether or not Brian Callahan has the chops to be a head coach in the NFL. Now, I know it's his first year, and I understand that experience matters, but this is also not a training wheels league, and he knows that. I like Brian Callahan. I think he's a good guy. I hope for his success. I'm a huge Titan fan. You all know that. But yesterday, I was very disappointed and alarmed by some of the red flags that I saw. First, I thought the football team was completely unprepared. Like, they didn't know what Malik Willis was capable of. I mean, Will Levis went up to the podium yesterday, and he said the defense was unprepared for some of the things that the Packers were going to do, which is, by the way, probably not something Will Levis should be saying. But he said it anyways. And Brian Callahan is the head coach. You see, this is a team that we got to have to incorporate, is even though he calls the plays, and he's basically the offensive coordinator for the Titans, he's also the head coach. So when you go into a game plan, and or in a game against Malik Willis, who you've coached, you should know Malik better than Malik knows Malik. When you go into that game and you're unprepared for Malik to run the ball, that's on you. If Denard Wilson's putting in the scheme and he's saying, yeah, you know, we don't want to have a spy because we want to worry about, you guys say, no, no, no. Because when push comes to shove, Malik's going to run the football. And they didn't do that. That was the first sign that I saw, and I was like, are these people stupid? But the biggest red flag I saw yesterday, the two things that really, really, really bothered me. The first was right at the beginning of the second half, when Brian Callahan changed his mind and decided to burn a second half timeout, go for it on fourth down after sending on the punt team, and then he didn't get it. That was a giant red flag. Because it's one thing if Brian Callahan said, you know what, I've got a play I love here. It's fourth and short. Go out and let's run 22 X Queen Y double X bubblegum yogurt. Go run it, and I know we're going to get it. That would be one thing. But he didn't. He sent on the punt team. And then the fans booed. Now, I thought the fans were booing because they were booing not the idea of not going for it. They were booing the fact that the offense sucks. But I think Brian Callahan heard the boos and said, you know what? Let's go for it. And he called timeout. So I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. Who's coaching the team? Are you coaching the team? Or are the fans coaching the team? Because, again, you're the head coach. You sent the punt team on the field, did you not? Levis checks it down to Tony Pollard. We all knew it was right at the sticks. Pollard gets tackled, and all of a sudden, here comes the punter, and here comes the punt team, and the offense goes off. The fans say, boo! And Brian Callahan's sitting there saying, oh, no, 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 timeout, timeout. Let's put the offense out there. So again, who's coaching? Are you coaching? Or are the fans coaching? So do we need to run a poll? Hey, fans, who should start at quarterback this week? Starting at quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, according to the fans, Peyton Manning. Because, again, that's if you let the fans pick, that's what's going to happen. And so, I mean, again, to me, I'm like, are you not ready for the big boy decisions in the NFL? Because part of being a head coach is putting your foot down, knowing what's best for the team, and saying, no, we're doing what I think is in the best interest of the team. When Bill Belichick decided to go with Tom Brady over Drew Bledsoe, who was an $100 million quarterback, Robert Kraft said in the Patriots documentary, which was produced by Robert Kraft, Robert Kraft said he told Bledsoe, hey, I'm not going to tell Belichick who to play. But if this doesn't work, I'm going to hold him accountable. But again, Bill said at the time in the press conference, he had to do what was in the best interest of the team. T-E-A-M team. Nick Saban, when Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa were battling for the starting quarterback job, said, I appreciate our fans, but I don't really care what they think. And here's Brian Callahan. Boo! Okay, timeout. Let's go for it. And honestly, and I'm a Titan fan, and I was, you know, again, baking in the sun yesterday, I wasn't even upset they didn't get it. In fact, I'm glad they didn't get it because I don't think Brian Callahan should be rewarded for doing something that a moron would do, which is what he did yesterday. And again, I don't blame Brian Callahan for what happened in Chicago. I think he got outcoached in the second half. That's going to happen. That's okay. I don't blame Brian Callahan for what happened against the Jets. But that right there is coaching malpractice. And I had a real hard time with that. Again, who's coaching the team? Are you coaching the team? Or are the fans coaching the team? Yesterday, they had another special teams meltdown. Braden Arvison misses a field goal. Jeffrey Simmons gets called for a penalty. Touchdown, Green Bay. What are we doing to fix it? Got two punts blocked that have cost you a touchdown, 3 points, and now this cost you seven. You taking over special teams? Or are you just going to let Buddy Boy from Cincinnati? I bet you guys were buddies. He was the assistant special teams coach. You were the offensive coordinator. Maybe you went out and had a couple of cocktails together. I don't know. I just know this guy's special teams unit through three games might actually be worse than the last guy's special teams unit. And you know how I felt about him. I mean, again, to me, those are red flags. When you're not going to do something about it, and you're just going to let mistake after mistake after mistake happen and just keep saying, well, we're going to coach it up, that doesn't give me a lot of faith that you actually know how to fix these problems. So do you know how to get up there and do a podcast interview and make everybody feel better about themselves? Congratulations. But that's not really the job of a head coach in the NFL. Now, being visible for the fans is part of the job, but it's not the job. So I thought the game plan was completely unprepared for the task at hand. I thought he got goaded into a terrible fourth down decision by the fans, which should never happen. Again, his special teams unit was a total disaster. And then after the game was over, I felt like Brian Callahan kind of excused everything. You know, I kept talking about after the Jets game, when he would use the words unacceptable and inexcusable. And I'm like, that's fine if you don't accept it or if you don't excuse it. But if you tell me that's unacceptable and then give me 18 reasons why you think it's okay, then you're accepting it. And yesterday, after the game was over, he got up there and made every excuse in the book. And so I'm a Brian Callahan fan. I hope he does well. But, I mean, I'm sorry. You cannot coach Tennessee Titans. As far as I'm concerned, you cannot coach Tennessee Titans if you're not going to hold anybody accountable. You cannot coach the Tennessee Titans if you're going to let the fans dictate whether or not you go for it on fourth down. You cannot coach the Tennessee Titans if the only thing you can do is make people feel better about themselves. I need a coach. I don't need a cheerleader. So yesterday, again, I understand the problems of the fact that they don't have a right tackle. I mean, that's, he's somewhat culpable in that, but he's not totally culpable in that. But yes, they were poorly coached yesterday. He did a terrible job. And when he got up at the podium and said, I'm an 0-3 coach, I said, yes, sir, you are. And that performance today, that was an 0-3 coach performance. That was a Nathaniel Hackett moment when he let the fans convince him to go for it on fourth down. I couldn't believe it. 2-score game in the second half, your quarterback's awful, and you're going to let the fans. And again, I thought the fans were booing that the offense sucked. Like if it was third and 13 and they threw incomplete, the fans would have booed like boo as the punt team goes on. Not boo that you're going for it. And I think he interpreted it as boo, go for it, coach. And he said, okay, fans, timeout. Like, great, just burned a timeout because coach let the fans tell him what to do. That's embarrassing. That is embarrassing to Brian Callahan. And if I see it again, that's going to be it for me. Like, again, I have non-negotiables. You let the fans start coaching, you ain't going to be my coach. Unbelievable. And I like Callahan. But again, I don't need pom-pom waving. I don't need somebody to make everybody feel better about themselves. I need a coach who's got some cojones. I need a coach who, when he makes a decision, can turn around to the fans and say, this is my decision, this is why I made it, and I feel comfortable with it, and you need to accept what I'm going to do. And if you don't like it, that's okay, and then you cannot show up, and eventually they'll fire me if I don't win. But not, boo! Okay, fans! I mean, if he's weaker dealing with the fans than I am on this radio show, that's a problem. Because you know, you can call in, text in, I don't care. If I've got a decision made, I'm going to make it. And if the coach can't do that, that's a problem. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. We will get back into your phones, I promise. But 615-737-1025. And another criticism I have of Brian Callahan. Again, yesterday was the first day where I really started to see some things I'm not sure I really liked. But one of the criticisms I have is I'm not sure Brian Callahan has very high expectations. And I will explain what I mean by that coming up next. It doesn't mean that I don't think Brian Callahan doesn't think they can win games. It doesn't mean that I don't think Brian Callahan doesn't want to win games. I just don't think he has the expectations of the head coach that I want. I'll explain how next. Let's talk Twice Daily. When it comes to Twice Daily always meets my expectations. And at Twice Daily, they've got a burger built just for you. Try the new classic Jalapeno Ranch or Titans Burger at Twice Daily. They're made to order so you can fix them the way you like them with your choice of cheese, veggies, and other tasty toppings. And if you're looking for a great burger deal, Twice Daily's got that too. Get their $6 meal deal, including any made-to-order burger, potato wedges, and your choice of a 20-ounce Coke or Pepsi. There's no better way to get more meal for your money. Twice Daily. What are you craving?
Longest third down of the day for the Titans. Checks it short to Pollard. Pollard makes a man miss, and he's close, but not quite to the yardage. About a yard and a half short of a first down. Titans put just saying, go for it. Ron Callahan's bringing the punt team out.
Great job by Carl Brooks, 94. And if you are going to rush four and you're going to drop and have eyes on the quarterback, you got to have guys in that defensive line that are going to turn and chase. And that's exactly what Carl Brooks did on that play. He's pressuring the quarterback. He turns around. He's the guy that made the initial contact and the tackle.
So Brian Callahan walked over to the official and said, I want to take a timeout. Is he rethinking this fourth and one call? Brian Callahan, with a moment to think about it, is sending the offense back out. Now, the crowd's cheering loudly for that right now. If he doesn't get it, this crowd will quickly turn on the decision.
Yeah, this is a huge snap in this game. It's either going to be a first down, and you've instilled a ton of confidence, and you've made one of those plays that he talked to us about. Game-changing plays. Games that are plays that will flip the course of the game. Here's one of them right here. And this is all or nothing in the early part of the second draft. We're talking about the opening drive. If you miss this and Green Bay goes down and scores a touchdown and gets out 27-7, it's going to be a tough afternoon for the Titans.
On fourth down, play action. Levis going to run. Going airborne. He didn't get there. Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie slammed the door on Will Levis.
I mean, I thought that was disgraceful. I thought it was disgraceful. If you want to go for it, go for it. But, I mean, what you got to do as the head coach is once Pollard's tackled at the sticks, it's you tell the offense, stay out there. Because we're going to run bubblegum Z9 20X80 with the you send the punt team out there. And then all of a sudden you hear the boo. Okay, fans, I'm sorry. Timeout. Timeout. I want the fans to listen to my podcast with Mike Keith. I don't want them to get mad. I don't want Taylor Lewan to not give me a nice little kiss on the tushy every time I'm on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. Time out. Fans, what should we do? Okay, go for it. It's like, oh, God, are you a big boy or are you not a big boy? Do you need a sippy cup to make your decisions? Or can you do it like a big boy? So that pissed me off. But also what pissed me off yesterday, and I think I hate to say it because I like him so much. I do. I really like Brian Callahan. He's a good man. He is. But I'm not sure he has very high expectations. And I don't mean high expectations like Brian Callahan doesn't want to win the Super Bowl. Everybody wants to win the Super Bowl. But I was talking with Derek and Chris about this off the air yesterday during the pregame show because Derek had told a story about the difference between being with the Ravens and being with the Jets. And he said just the attitude at the Jets. Everybody was kind of in it for themselves. They really didn't know how to win. They weren't. And I said that's because the word expectations, I think a lot of people are like, you know, I have high expectations for myself. I want a 4.0 grade average. Well, that's great, but those really aren't expectations. That's hope. For me, expectations are what you plan to do every day. Like, no, the Ravens, they go to work. They expect that everybody will put the team first. They expect that everybody will work their butts off. They expect that everybody will give them a hard day's work. And they will expect that if you don't meet the criteria of being a Raven, you won't be there. There is a difference. The Jets, they don't expect you to show up and act like a pro. And you know that. And so when Brian Callahan talks about holding people accountable, I'm not really sure he does have high expectations for what he expects of his players and what he holds them to. Because, again, he uses the words inexcusable and unacceptable, and then he excuses and he accepts. For instance, this was Brian Callahan yesterday after what I thought was an inexcusable pick six by Will Levis, and this is what Brian Callahan said when asked about that pick six.
What happened on Will's pick six? Just got stuck looking at the guy for too long there?
No, I mean, he wasn't really late. It just Jair jumped it. He made a nice play. That's a all-pro corner, and he jumped the route and took a chance on it and made a really nice play. Timing-wise, it wasn't anything wrong with it. He just sat on it, and that happens sometimes, so that's not something I'm mad at Will about. I thought everything there was fine. He just made a good play.
Oh, so he's not mad at Will, and he didn't think he threw it late, and he didn't think Levis did anything wrong. Hey, just Jair Alexander made a good play. I'm not mad at Will. Can't be upset, even though it was a pick six and pretty much into the football game, but I can't be mad about it. I'm not mad at Will. By the way, listen to the play-by-play of this interception from Levis. Listen to Moose Johnston, and listen to the blame he puts on Levis.
A rough start the first couple of weeks for Levis as he goes to the air. It's intercepted! Jair Alexander, high-stepping for six.
And we have that. Now, this is going to be interesting because it's not him trying to do too much. He's not scrambling. He's not going to the ground, making a crazy flip and trying to create something out of nothing, which always makes the play worse. This is just not seeing the defender sitting on a hitch route. I mean, you can't let that one go. You're staring right at DeAndre Hopkins. That's why Jair Alexander is jumping that route.
35-yard intercept return for Alexander. Already the sixth pick of the year for this Packer defense. They had seven all last season.
So you hear Moose Johnston in that, and Moose is like, you can't throw that ball. I mean, he's just sitting on this with DeAndre Hopkins. You just don't see the defender. The defender just jumps it and runs it in for a touchdown. You can't do that. So does Moose Johnston have higher expectations for Will Levis than Brian Callahan? Because Brian Callahan said, their guy just made a good play. And again, that's what I'm saying. Like, are you really holding Will Levis accountable when you get up there and say, oh, nothing, Will. I'm not mad at Will. Will did the right thing. Jair Alexander is just Champ Bailey and Deion Sanders rolled into one. Because again, Moose didn't say that on the broadcast. And then there was the Jeffrey Simmons penalty. Yesterday, Braden Narveson misses the field goal. Simmons gets a penalty. And all of a sudden, the Packers get the ball back and they score a touchdown. So you went from 0 points to 7 points for the Packers. And again, I thought that was kind of the third strike and Colt Anderson should be out. But listen to Brian Callahan talk about it, and it seems like the refs were the problem.
Second week in a row, Jeff's had a penalty that ended up costing you 7 points. Are those both discipline issues?
I don't think so. I was surprised that they called that. I haven't seen that call very often. I didn't, you know, again, they call what they call, and they see how they see it. But, yeah, that was a big momentum shift. We had him off the field with a missed field goal, and, you know, that's what it is. We can't have those. Are critical penalties. That's 2 weeks in a row. Again, I can't attribute those to discipline. I was surprised that it got called, and it is what it is. But those are the mistakes that we're making right now, and we just can't quite find a way to create ourselves a break. And in this league, you make your own breaks, and we haven't made any of them. And that's a hard thing to swallow.
Okay, so, well, hold on, let me get this straight. Was it the ref's fault? Because you're like, I don't think they call that very often, and I don't think that's fair. Or can we not have those penalties? Because, again, I'm talking about holding people accountable. So if Simmons did something that's against the rules and it costs you, then you need to hold Simmons accountable. If the referees messed something up, then you need to hold them accountable. But you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth there and me take you seriously. So again, two massive plays in the game. That's 14 points. Ian, is it not? The pick six return for a touchdown.
That
and
is six
Simmons
points.
Simmons with the block, you know, that we're talking about 14 points.
I think that did lead to a touchdown. Yeah.
14 points. And the coach, who said today, I'm holding people accountable. The coach said he's not mad at Levis. There's nothing Levis could have done. Moose Johnson doesn't think that, but the coach says that. And then on the Simmons thing, he blames the refs. Well, you know, the refs screwed us. Did they? Or did Simmons actually break the rules and the refs correctly threw the flag? You tell me. And again, that's where I go back to, I don't really know if Brian Callahan's expectations are to show up to work and for everybody to feel good about themselves and to pat everybody on the back and that no matter what, we're going to have a positive and a conducive to everyone having a good time environment. Is that your expectation? Or is your expectation that everybody will be accountable and everybody will do what it takes to win and everybody will either make adjustments or will be sitting on the bench? You pick. But you can't have it both ways. And right now, I think his focus is more on everybody liking him when he shows up to work. Just like I think his priority for going forward on fourth down was because the fans booed him. And for the first time in his life, he heard, boo! And he was like, oh, no, fans don't! So I got to me, those are two huge red flags. If you cannot, if you're like the parent who blames the teacher for your kid getting a B when you were like, I think my kid should have gotten an A. Moose Johnson looked at the homework. He didn't think it was an A either. 615-737-1025. We are to your phones. 615-737-1025 plus. Brian Callahan conveniently chose not to answer something yesterday, but it's a question that's got to be asked. And when he has a conversation with Amy today, I don't think he can get out of that one. We'll get to it next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
How do you feel Amy today, and what kind of vibe does she have?
I usually call Amy usually on Monday afternoons. I'll call her this afternoon. I sometimes see her after games, depending on you know what she's got going on. But I'll call her today, and I'll have that news for you some other time.
There you go, Brian Callahan saying, hey, you know, I talked to Amy all, you know. This. So here's one of my favorite things about Brian Callahan is, you know, he doesn't really like to rock the boat, and I get it. And, you know, why say something that could get you in trouble when you don't have to? And he's done a good job of making people feel like he's listening to them when sometimes he doesn't completely answer what they're asking, and I get it. You know, that's part of the game. But Brian Callahan was asked yesterday, I think, a pretty poignant question by Paul Kaharsky, which is, if 3 weeks ago you thought Malik Willis was worth a bag of footballs, how did he go out there and look like Michael Vick today? Because it means one of two things. It means either you undervalued Malik. You didn't coach Malik correctly. You didn't evaluate Malik correctly. Or you're stupid and had a terrible game plan for Malik. Here's what Brian Callahan said.
In 2 years here, in his time here, Malik never has looked anything close to that.
Mm-hmm.
What's it say about your defense that he's capable of looking like that?
Yeah, Malik did a nice job. I had to tip a cap to Malik and that offensive coaching staff. You know, we let them get into a position in the game that was beneficiary to them, and they made a couple nice throws. Malik's a very capable quarterback. I think you guys saw his improvement here over the course of training camp. He is capable, and they had him in a good spot most of the game. They didn't have to do a lot. They ran the ball well, and he made a couple big throws, which, again, every NFL quarterback should be able to make. And he did a nice job, so we didn't do a good enough job.
He's capable, but you guys judge him to only be worth a seventh-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So for a guy that you judge to be worth that little, should he be able to do that? And he was doing stuff to you before the game was at hand, sure. First, second drive.
He played well. I don't really have anything else to add to that. I think Malik's a good football player, and they did a good job with him.
Capable quarterbacks in the NFL don't go for seventh-round picks, and you know that. And so Paul's basically asking, so is Malik good and you got it wrong, or did your game plan stink that bad? That's what he's asking. And Brian Callahan's not going to answer the question. I get it. But when he has his conversation with Amy today, you don't get to weasel out of the question. Because I guarantee you, Amy's going to say, hold on, I think I just watched Michael Vick, and I would love for my team to have Michael Vick. So is he Michael Vick, or did we just suck that bad yesterday? Did we coach that poorly yesterday? And Brian Callahan can't say, well, you know, I think Malik is a really hard worker, and I'm happy for his success, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, because the owner's going to say, you didn't answer my question. Answer it. And it's not like he can look to the PR staff and say, all right, Terry McCormick, do you have a question? Jim Wyatt cannot get you out of trouble when you're on the phone with the owner. Jim Wyatt can get you out of trouble in a press conference. Jim, I love you. You know it, but come on now. Jim can get you out of trouble. Things get a little tense, and then it's like, how did you feel like the punt return did yesterday? And I get it. You know, it's part of the job, I think. I don't know. I love Jim. But he can't do that when he's on the phone with the owner. You know, Amy can't say, why did Malik look like Michael Vick out there yesterday when we only got a seventh in return? Well, you know, I have all the respect in the world for Malik and thought he did a good job yesterday. And Jim's not going to hop on three-way call and say, you know, ask about something good for whatever that's worth. Michael's been waiting patiently and is up next on the Titans. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com on a Titans Monday. I do love you, Jim. You know that. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So what I don't really understand is, what does Chad Brinker actually do for this team? I understand that, like, apparently, according to Diana Russini, he's the, quote-unquote, the one in charge of all this, the decision-maker, as she's put it. But he was brought in on the premise of having this weird AI Harvard model that cures cancer or whatever. But if it can't even win football games, how is he supposed to cure cancer if he can't win a damn football game at this point? I just don't understand why this guy has so much importance, allegedly, to this franchise. And I don't understand why they keep propping him up like he's Jesus. I just don't get it at this point.
I will agree with you, Michael. I don't buy the bullcrap. And what happened was, he did a podcast. He did like a 50-minute podcast or whatever at Senior Bowl. And I listened to the whole thing. And as I listened to the whole thing, and I heard them ask him questions like, so what do you do? And he would just use a bunch of big words in these long, giant sentences and comments. And I'd hear the people on the podcast go, wow. And I'm like, but you didn't really answer the question, what do you do? And then he goes up in the booth and they ask, so what do you do? And he's like, well, you know, my job, my promotion is to service the head coach and service the general manager and, you know, be an act of service. I'm like, so is this like the Salvation Army or is this an NFL team? Like, what are we doing here? But to answer your question, I do think one of the big problems the Titans have Rand Carthon's got no experience before being general manager. And again, everyone's got to start sometime. But he had no experience. He wasn't assistant general manager. He wasn't a general manager somewhere else. Zero experience. Brian Callahan, zero head coaching experience. Again, got to get your start somewhere. I get it. But zero experience. Chad Brinker, zero president experience. Berg Nyhill, the CEO, zero NFL team president experience. So everybody who's in charge of the Titans has zero previous experience. That's a problem. You know, when John Robinson got hired, Steve Underwood was the team president. He had about 35 years of experience. When John Robinson got hired as a first-year general manager, Mike Mularkey was the coach. He had previous head coaching experience. Right now, there's no experience. And I don't even know what Brinker does, other than Diana says he makes the decisions. And he's got his AI model, for whatever that's worth. Let's go to Chris, who's up next here on Malik Willis. Chris, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Hi, Jared. Thanks for taking my call. You know, one thing that may be overlooked on this is 2 weeks ago when Malik was traded, I thought about this, and then I didn't really think about it since because everybody's thinking, oh, if Malik beats us, what are we going to do? And there's no way he can beat us. But the informational assets he was able to take with him 2 weeks before a game, I mean, that's like a field general coming over to the other side in a battlefield and giving you key information from the inside.
A field general?
Whether it's signals, whether it's audibles, whether it's, you know, just inside information. I mean, that's valuable stuff. And it was very, very one-sided yesterday on both sides of the ball.
So here's what I'm going to tell you about that. Thank you for your call, Chris.
Yeah.
The coaches should know Malik better than Malik knows the Titans. Because, again, it's not Malik's job to know every single person's tendencies and what they're good at and what they're bad at and what their weaknesses are and what their strengths are. Malik's job is to do what the coaches tell him to do. So the Titans should know Malik better than Malik knows the Titans. The fact that the Titans, especially early in that game, didn't have a spy on Malik Willis kind of tells me that the Titans really didn't have a good understanding of Malik, considering that's what Malik is supposed to do. Like, we knew that all Malik can do is hand the ball off and run it. And then he made a couple of throws. And again, I didn't think there was any spectacular wow throw by Malik yesterday. But I don't think they won the game because Malik has state secrets. I think they won the game because you suck. That's why I think they won. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We're back to your phones if you want to weigh in here on the program at 615-737-1025 here on Stillman & Company, 1025-1063. The game.
Second down and goal from the five. Willis keeps on the zone read, bouncing towards the goal line. Touchdown! Malik Willis into the end zone in Tennessee to pace the Packers to the early lead.
Just a really good opening drive to start the game. Malik Heath out here. We talked about the wide receivers as blockers. He gets the key block that allows Malik Willis to get to the outside. Nice little inside dip right there, and then bouncing it back outside. Great balance. Just great balance on the drive. Short throws, one-on-one opportunities that you cash into down the field. And when that run game struggles a little bit, here comes the quarterback as that 11th guy you got to worry about.
There you go. That was the Malik Willis touchdown that got it started. I mean, the big throw on the sideline to McCreary. I mean, we know what McCreary's weakness is. He's short and has short arms. And we watched Joe Burrow come in here 2 years ago and just throw the ball on the sideline to T. Higgins on McCreary the entire game. And it worked. So that's not like it was some kind of miraculous wow. They basically said it's going to be man for man. Malik, throw it up. And Malik threw it up. But my biggest issue was the running game. You know, Jeffrey Simmons comes out and says, nobody runs the ball on the Tennessee Titans. And I thought, oh, God. I was like, let your game do the talking. Like, let your play do the talking. Let that, you know, Let that happen as opposed to just saying, you know, But everyone keeps talking about Matt LaFleur like all of a sudden he's Bill Walsh. I mean, this is the same guy that kicked a field goal down by 8 in the NFC title game. I'm not sold on Matt LaFleur. This is the same guy who stuck Derrick Henry on the bench. Now, I think Matt LaFleur did a good job last year with Jordan Love, but I'm not just ready to drop my pants. What I'm ready to be upset about is the fact that Denard Wilson's defense seemed completely unaware of the idea that Malik Willis was going to run. That I could not handle. That one, I just don't. No spy, you got Adams running off the field. By the way, speaking of Adams, Ian, did you see that tackle attempt Jamal Adams had yesterday?
I must have missed that one.
He missed a tackle, and it led to like a 30-yard gain. He sucks.
There were some missed tackles yesterday.
He sucks.
Some weird.
That's the only thing he's supposed to be able to do is tackle.
Some weird running lanes and weird angles and, you know, weird botched assignments on defensive players. You know, falling for the misdirection while they go back the other way to, like, you know, a little screen to Jaden Reed. That happened a lot.
I mean, and again, this is supposed to be a veteran team. This is supposed to be a brilliant defensive coordinator. See, I'm not so sure it's so much a brilliant defensive coordinator and elite defense as much as it is Caleb Williams stunk and Aaron Rodgers just took what the defense gave him when it mattered the most. That's what I think happened. No turnovers, no spy on Malik, and Jamal Adams can't tackle. Chalk one up for the cancer-curing AI model. Let's go to Josiah, who has been waiting very patiently and is up next on Brian Callahan. Josiah, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Jared, something I don't like about some of these answers that I'm seeing is he makes it seem like the process for not making these mistakes is some sort of mystery. Like, If Will Levis put on his helmet backwards, we'd be like, oh, that was a mistake, because we all know what the process is for putting your helmet on correctly. But when the coach comes out here and takes that pick, like the TV broadcaster said, the guy was just sitting on the route. When he sits there and acts like there was nothing you could do about it, in my mind I'm thinking, okay, either the coach doesn't have a clear process that he talks to the quarterback about, or maybe he does and he's just like needlessly obfuscating it because he doesn't want us to, like, put all the blame on Will Levis. But, like, whenever I hear somebody who's very competent at instructing these things, if you asked him about that problem, he would be like, oh, he didn't see this check down, okay, and he didn't make this read or something. So I'm not a coach, but, like, I can hear when somebody understands the process they're teaching. And I've never heard Callahan give an answer that made it seem like behind the scenes he had the day-to-day process down pat. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't totally ride with you on that. I appreciate your call. I mean, I do think that there's some covering for Will Levis. That's what I think that, you know, I think Levis screwed up on the pick six. Because I didn't see Tom Brady throw those kind of pick sixes. And Brady threw some pick sixes. I didn't see Brady just turn around, throw the ball to the outside guy, jump it for a pick six. Like, that I didn't see. I mean, I'm sure it happened at one point at some, you know, because he threw a gazillion passes. But not where everybody's kind of zeroing in saying, hey, man, like, do you suck or do you not? Like, we need to see, oh, pick six the other way. I think he's covering for Levis. I think Callahan is smart enough to know the process of what it takes in order for a quarterback to be successful. But I'm not sure that Levis has it in him to be able to do it. And then I'm not sure, you know, kind of the mean parent stuff, I don't know if Callahan has that inside of him. Let's go to Ty in Franklin, who's up next here on our program and has been waiting patiently. Ty, go ahead.
Hey, Jared. One comment on that last segment. I think there's also just some inexperience that we're starting to see from an inexperienced GM and an inexperienced head coach. But my question was, you know, really asking you, what happens first? Does Mason Rudolph start a quarterback or does Amy fire somebody? And I'll hang up.
Yeah, I think the reason nobody got fired last night or nobody's been fired today, although as we learned, Ian, you can, I mean, it's too early to say nobody's getting fired because the Monday after the 2022 Eagles game, I told Caroline, I said, you know, in lesser run organizations, someone usually gets fired with a game like this. And then the next day, on Tuesday, she fired John Robinson. So they're not totally out of the woods yet.
Not yet.
But I think the saving grace here is that everyone spent all last week talking about who gets fired if they lose, that she would be ashamed to fire somebody. That she knows, like, if she fired somebody, if Denard Wilson got fired, if Brian Callahan got fired, if Rand Carthon got fired, if Chad Brinker got fired, if somebody like that got fired, I mean, as much as it might be justified, I don't think the fan reaction would be, Amy has seen enough and put her foot down. I think it would be, up, there goes Amy again. And so I think she's not firing somebody over that. I think Brian Callahan's got one more screw-up from Will Levis, and he has to pull the plug. And I'm not talking about the bonehead stuff. I'm talking about the pick six that he threw yesterday. Because if you've listened to Derek, Derek has made it abundantly clear that at some point those dudes in the locker room are going to screw the coach and be done with it if he thinks the coach is simping for the quarterback. Like, if he thinks that the coach is selling out for the quarterback and is all in and everything else, then he is going, then the players are going to say, screw you, coach. And I think we're already starting to see some fractures in all of this. You know, Levis kind of threw the defense under the bus yesterday after the game, which I was a little shocked by. Just a little shocked. But I don't think Amy's firing anybody. And I think if Levis, I mean, if they go and they lose Monday and Levis has another pick six like he did yesterday, where it's not a boneheaded mistake, but it's just one of the things that gets you, he's probably not going to have a choice. Or he's going to lose his team. And once you lose the team, there's no coming back. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 here on the program if you want to weigh in. And coming up next, a lot of people asked a question in the summer. And I hope now you know. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game.